T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's up, guys? I'm just going out to Montana, getting ready for our family ski trip, and I was watching some old film, and this was from 2 years ago. This was me. I was taking way too much time getting into this jump, and I pushed off. I was way ahead of my skis, and then full left shoulder. That was a lot of pain, and I actually been studying Lindsay, and she's just got a way bigger hill, way more speed, and she's perfectly balanced, so way bigger hill. Way more speed. That's what it's got to be. Let's go.
Yeah, hopefully not. That's Tom Brady on his Instagram earlier today. I don't even utter the word skiing.
But I heard hurt shoulder.
Shoulder.
Also,
I don't want anything to do with it.
Telling.
All right, Ben Volen, Boston Globe. He joins us now.
What's up, boys?
Do we have any intro music? If you had intro music, what would it be?
What's like a troll theme song?
Is like there a Teletubbies?
Is there a cartoon about trolls or something?
I feel like there's a movie called Trolls.
When was the first time you heard trolling Ben Volen? Is it back in your Miami days?
No,
just a New England thing.
The people in Miami aren't creative enough to come up. No, people really don't care in Miami, and you're completely anonymous down there. And that is an adjustment coming up here, where people do care about the media and they're tracking your every word and constantly critiquing you and looking for mistakes. So that was a big adjustment. But you know what? Bring it on. I embrace this.
Well, hold on. But when did that even happen? I'm trying to. When was the genesis of trolling Volen? You obviously did something that pissed somebody off.
Probably Deflategate. I'd say around Deflategate, when I wasn't, you know, whining like everyone else and wasn't rushing to defend.
You weren't affected.
You weren't on payroll.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was one of the few not on the payroll. So I would, you know, during Deflategate, I wrote a lot of articles that were critical of the Patriots. Now they handled it.
And you can deflate these nuts.
There you go. And frankly, it may have been Portnoy who may have been one of the ones who, on these airwaves, may have popularized it back then. You know, we got into one of those stupid arguments where no one really wins, but he gets to call you a troll. And you know, you know how that wins. Goes.
And sick of trolling.
Then he wins.
Yeah. But I win because then he's talking about me, and so we all win, you know.
All right, so here we are now, day three. Pat's real active in day two, boy. They killed it.
It's like nothing else. I feel like I need a cigarette and a glass of scotch.
I don't know, Ben, if you've kind of heard where we've been at. And because if you take the stance you're not happy with what the Patriots have done, particularly maybe in the wide receiver grouping, guys that they, by the way, Patriot fans don't want to admit it, who they've already tried to give out a lot of money to and missed, then you're an idiot because they just won the Super Bowl. But I contend that Tom Brady is not happy. I contend Josh McDaniels, both those guys, talking to each other going, do we really have to do this again? Why does Bill make it so hard on us? Where do you stand on what you've seen from this wide receiving group, particularly just that wide receiver group?
So, yeah, there's no question that Brady can't be happy with this, and McDaniels can't be happy that they're being given these bargain basement players. Bruce Ellington got $25,000 guaranteed, so he's, you know,
that's
training camp.
$25,000?
Yeah. $25,000 signing.
That's OTA I told money, you yesterday that is that's basically work. That's what you'll make during the OTAs, during just by showing up and working out.
Yeah, exactly. So
they'll cut him.
So don't you think though at this point they're Brady and McDaniels are at least so conditioned where I don't think they get mad but they roll their eyes.
Yeah,
they kind of just roll their eyes at it. Like, here we go again.
Well, I think
they're
privately
giving us scraps. You know,
I mean, if you're in his circle of trust, obviously Jermaine Wiggins isn't. But if you're in his circle of trust, yeah, I think that he would sit there and be like, again, I'm gonna do it again, and then now I'm gonna be 42 years old when my game is like last year, you know, where I don't have big upgrades at wide receiver. God, I hope Jules stays healthy again this year. I hope Gronk is there. I hope we have a clean, health report week 14 for the rest of the season, which is basically unheard of. I hope we don't lose anybody for the rest of the year. I got to do it again.
Yeah, their depth is terrible right now. But, you know, they make one trade for A.J. Green, and they go out and draft Hunter Renfrow and all as well. And now we're talking about how loaded they are. And, you know, there are still options out there. I just I looked at free agency, and yeah, I know we all want them to spend money, and sure, Humphreys probably would have been the guy to go get, but there was so much crap out there in free agency. There's a bunch of C-plus players getting, you know, like Tyrell Williams. Had anyone really heard of Tyrell Williams before?
That was Lou's guy.
Free agency.
Yeah, not fantasy.
And he got, you know, he got 1 year guaranteed from the Raiders, and the rest of it is window dressing, basically. There was Golden Tate. Like, if he was anything, he wouldn't be signing with the Giants. He would have gotten a bigger deal out there. There's just this year's free agency, not just wide receiver, but overall, except for a couple positions, it was just all crap. And yeah. I just don't mind the Patriots sitting out and seeing what they can come up with, you know, through trades or free agency or whatever, because it's just such fool's gold this year.
Well, you mentioned Golden Tate, and I kind of laugh because I totally agree with you. He's got this whole, he does his press conference. And he talks about how his time is limited, and you know, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5, or 6 years. I don't know what's going to go on, how it's going to amp. But I'm on the tail end of my career for sure. I want another ring.
I want to sign with the Giants.
So hold on. So let me see. I look at that Giants organization, and if he plays 6 years, maybe they circle back and they end up having an opportunity. But for the next 3 to 4 years, they're not sniffing a playoff game.
Maybe he wants to buy a new ring for his wife, and so he wants to get money. Yeah,
maybe that's what he meant, because he made a lot of money for an older guy. That the easiest, because my thing is, like, if you really want to, you know, get a ring, and you already know what they offered Humphreys and what Beasley would, because he was next in line. So they lost out on Humphreys, lost out on Beasley. Okay, next guy, Golden Tate, a little bit older. Maybe they don't devote as much resource. So to me, him playing for the Giants, because he completely contradicts himself. Like, nobody who wants another ring goes to the Giants.
Show me the money.
No one who has any options is going to the Giants right now. They're like the team of last resort. So I think that just shows they wanted a veteran for the locker room to show. They're clearly gutting the roster. They wanted a veteran who can show the young guys the way. And no one was willing to pay him as much as the Giants were. And look, he was out there for the Patriots. If they really wanted him, they could have had him. Even Humphreys. I know there were reports that they came back after the fact and they sweetened their deal, and he made Humphreys really think about it. Well, they didn't make him think enough that he didn't go back on his word like Anthony Barr did, but they're still kind of nickel and diming him. Well, we'll give you nine. Well, we'll give you if they
the
really,
Patriots.
What is
yeah,
the, what
and,
is,
and that's
they,
and that to me is, sorry to cut you off, but yeah, what we were talking about. That's a cornerback. That's a safety. You're locking him up, and like, why are we playing games? Let me go. I'm going to go a million over, so I don't have to do the stupid dance.
Right. If they really wanted Humphreys, they would have made a stronger play and gotten him like they did with Gilmore a couple years ago.
See, when these names started coming out, right? Because we were talking earlier about Julian Edelman sitting there at a $2 million base. I know with the bonus and everything else. I don't care. He's making 2.8 this year, possibly in bonuses, right?
Yeah.
1 year left in his deal. And I find out you're offering 4 and 40 to Humphreys. Even before the free agency started, I was telling him that if Julian Edelman, I don't think he ever would, but he should sit there and say, Bill, good luck without me. I need another year or two. I need more money. And you can talk about leverage. He's the only guy they got. He's a Super Bowl MVP. There isn't nothing there at all. And we still don't know what's going on with Gronk. Now you see Adam Humphries, 4 and 40, slot guy. Now you see that Cole Beasley comes out and says, yeah, it was between Buffalo and New England, basically. I mean, Dallas was always there. He just came from there. Buffalo and New England. Golden Tate, maybe they're interested in him. They said Bruce Ellington, slot guy. I mean, if you're, what are they doing? Is it going to get a guy that's tall?
Well, I would agree. No, actually.
You're asking a short guy.
Well, I love the short guys, and so do the Patriots, frankly. You look at all their top receivers, James White and Rex Burkhead and Julian Edelman. I think they're, and you look at who they're
but
going they're, after.
Those are running
agency.
Backs.
Yeah, but they're still small receivers that their matchup, they win the matchups against the linebackers and stuff. And look at the receivers they went after, Cole Beasley and Humphreys.
They definitely have a type.
Yeah.
So if that was a woman they were after, it would be a blonde with blue eyes. Basically is what it would be.
Basically.
Who loves CrossFit. That's in really good shape. And has a really good three-cone drill.
So, you know, where was I going with that?
I don't know. I totally screwed you up.
No, they're just little guys. Running around open space, trying to get open quick.
That's what they're looking for. And if they can add Hunter Renfrow and probably three other guys in the draft that we've never heard of, they can definitely salvage this. Yes, Edelman. Edelman, if there's anyone who is justified in sitting out voluntary workouts, like, go ahead, Julian. You deserve it. You deserve more money. All that stuff. But, you know, he should be kicking himself, too, because he's one of these guys. He was headed for free agency after 2017. He took an extension a year early, and that is, you know, code word for you're going to get hosed on your contract. You are taking something way below market value because you're getting the money now instead of taking that risk a year later. And so he, You know, he did it to himself by agreeing to this contract extension with the Patriots. And if he hadn't done it, you know, he tore his ACL in 2017. And who knows what would have happened. But, yeah, if anyone – like last year, I did not blame Gronk at all if he wanted to hold out and you know, get more money, more power to you. And I feel the same about Edelman.
I'm with you.
If anyone deserves it, he does.
Yeah, but deserve, I get it. But that has nothing to do with it, with that franchise.
No, but like, they do have a history of hooking their guys up. Patrick Chung, they gave an extra $3 million to last year. They didn't have to. They've done it with Ninkovich before. As a sign of good faith, give Edelman $2 million extra, something, just to, you know.
Right? Yeah, because
hey, thanks
like
for winning the Super Bowl
the first 4 weeks.
Well, because, but our, you know, earlier in the week, you know, remember Lou was talking about, he's got to hold out. Like, that's not the way to do it with them. If you are going to,
you got to go all in. You can't just go to them and say, listen, I'm thinking of maybe holding out.
Well, that's not what
so
I meant. No.
I think you want to give me some more money.
You want him to hold out. I said no. You go and you have your hat in hand, and you have a conversation, and hopefully you have some sort of understanding. And then you wait because it's always got to be on their terms and on their time frame. And the next thing you know, you get a call. Hey, you know we love you. We just put a we put a little something in there. Go check it out right now. Can you open it? I'm gonna hold on. And listen.
Yeah.
Right.
You know
that's
what, it's
what they do.
Yeah.
You mentioned Ninkovich, the guys that they like. The guys that they love, Chung, they do that for those guys, but
say,
they don't
we'll give you
they demand it.
We'll give you $500,000, you know, if you get 90 catches or more.
No, not, it can't be incentives. $750,000
if you get 100 catches.
They just got to give it to them.
They just did it with Brady and Gronk.
But they're not going to give incentives.
Yeah,
I think
you don't
this
want
is
incentives. You want guaranteed. Yes.
No, I'm just saying the team won't do it if you go hat in hand. You're going to sit there and say,
you cannot hold out.
Good luck with Ellington. Good luck with Maurice
A game of
Harris.
Chicken against them.
Good luck with all these guys
Chicken's
you want to sign.
Because you know you'll lose.
You're not just asking Tom to save this offense. You're asking me to do it, too.
So do you think if he pulled the if Ellington pulled, if we started seeing cryptic tweets and Instagram posts, do you think that he would be successful? Because Gronk tried the same thing and he lost. So if Gronk loses, what's going to happen with Edelman?
Yeah, and look, Lou, it sounds great to tell Edelman to take a hard line, but first of all, they can fine you. They can't fine you for skipping OTAs, but they can fine you $40,000 a day for every day of training camp that you miss. So you know that works against
that's
you.
That's not worth it.
Look, Julian Edelman, there's nothing in the world he loves more than being Tom Brady's best buddy and being a New England Patriot. And the fact that he's lasted so long because he's taken these below market deals. If he starts storming around and stomping his feet, it might result in him getting a little extra money this year.
I love you, buddy.
It might result in him walking out the door after this year, and I don't think he wants it. I think he wants to stay a Patriot as long as humanly possible.
All right, he's Ben Volen. He's on with the MFers. There's no Ordway, so it's still OMF, but it's just Maloney and Fourier. Taking your calls at 617-779-7937. A lot of talk here. Patriots free agency. I want to dive into Rob Gronkowski. We had a conversation yesterday. Little different opinion as to what could be holding up Rob Gronkowski's retirement or announcing he's going to play. We'll get into that next. We'll get Ben Volen's thought on that one as OMF continues right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, do you think if, in fact, he, you know, sat out of training camp or didn't go to training camp and didn't play the first several weeks of the season, is that something you think Bill Belichick would be open to?
I think so. I think Bill understands Rob. I think he understands, you know, what he's been through. And I'm not saying, you know, Belichick is going to allow anything like that to happen. I'm just saying there's certain scenarios where you got to work things out with certain players.
That was Willie McGinnis yesterday on Dale and Keith. They had him on to try to clear up some things. He made some comments the day before on the NFL Network saying he thought that Gronk possibly could actually retire, take a long break, then get the itch to play again, unretire, go to the Patriots and say, hey, I feel like playing. So there's been a whole bunch of theories.
It's just a feeling. I mean, I've talked to people.
So we didn't know if it was a feeling, an opinion, or if he talked to people, and he kind of said both. So we don't know. Listen, I want to get into Rob Gronkowski, but I got to take this.
Because Volan has a theory.
I got to take this phone call real quick. This is Tim, who's down in Jupiter right now. Tim, where are you?
Reporter.
I'm right here in Jupiter. I'm right at the intersection of Indian Town Road and A1A.
What is on that? What is in that intersection? What is right next to it?
Well, it's a pretty pathetic-looking place that used to be a day spa.
Hmm. Did you see if they're open?
Orchids Please, of God.
Oh, no, it's closed. It's all taped off. There's a big orange sign thing.
Orchids of Asia.
Closed.
Orchids of Asia? Okay.
Yeah.
So, is it crowded there or what? Are people taking photos, selfies?
No. Apparently, a buddy of mine has got a place here, a shop here. He said the place was overrun for 2 weeks. He said it was, the top trending Twitter and everything like that. He said he had NFL security all over him.
NFL security?
Yeah.
All over him, like, to do what? Like, ask him questions, keep him away?
Yeah. No. Ask him questions, saying, did you see anything?
So there we go. Some confirmation that the NFL actually did investigate
something. Wow, that's amazing. That's a good point. What is the hell is the NFL doing down there?
There's no way I can do an investigation myself.
Just giving us a shout from out in front of it, is there anything going?
So I just sent Tyler a photo. So I walked across A1A to the Jupiter Yacht Club.
How far away would you say that is from Orchids of Asia?
The John Dennis Three Wood.
Okay, so about 105 yards.
I have a question for
go
you.
Go ahead.
But it's really, it was a 3-minute walk across, major highway to the intercoastal. And I just sent Tyler a photo.
I see it.
No, that's so.
So this is the
worlds are colliding,
so
Jerry.
This is the Eight Rings boat.
Yep. Well, it's in the marina there, right next to the point, which is very exclusive. It's a place where Bill Parcells had a place.
Okay.
So maybe Bill's just driving down there to hang out.
Thanks, Tim.
What's going on? I appreciate it.
Are we trying to draw some sort of connection there?
All right. So back to Rob Gronkowski. Thanks for the call, Tim.
U-turn.
So we heard stuff, right, from Rosenhaus talking about it's not necessarily the money. We've heard him talk about it, and I'm trying to figure out why he hasn't decided yet. I want to play real quick before we get your theory, Ben Volan. I want to play Tom Curran from the other night on NBC Sports Boston, and one of the things that he thinks that could be one of the reasons why Rob Gronkowski might be waiting to see what happens.
When he spends the time at the Super Bowl saying, look, I don't want to have 50 car crashes on Sunday and then have you guys on Wednesday saying, need you out of practice. If he looks at this and says, wait a minute, for $9 million, I'm going to play 1,200 snaps again and I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be catching all the crap if and when we don't have anybody else to throw to and it's all going to come to me. I'm not down with that.
Is Rob Gronkowski waiting to see what weapons Bill surrounds him with before he decides he wants to play or not?
So I think that's probably part of it. I would agree with Tom Curran that Gronk does not want to play 1,200 snaps, and that's his own fault because he agreed to those playtime incentives the last couple years. So I think he's done with that. He wants a less of a workload, no question. We all have our theories. No one knows exactly what's going on with Gronk. We're all just kind of guessing. Here's what I've come up with over the last couple of weeks.
Get the music ready.
Is this a feeling or a
guess? Are you talking to people?
After talking to people, here's my feeling. No, just trying to think of it rationally. Gronk has to. He can't say he's coming back yet because that's his only leverage. As soon as he says I'm coming back, he's boxed in, and the Patriots can go after him and try to cut his salary or whatever.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. If he wants to protect his $10 million salary or whatever, he has to have the threat of retiring. Well, you're not going to pay me that. Fine, I'm just going to walk away. So I think he can't. He just can't announce he's coming back yet because that's all the leverage that he has.
So
it's the only
thing
he has.
So do you think? All right. So you think the Patriots have no idea what's going on right now?
No, I think they're keeping him in the dark. I think they're going to have to have another
meeting. No. I mean, do you think Gronk is keeping the Patriots in the dark?
Yeah, I think it'll be like last year where they met 2 days before the draft.
Okay.
Bill said, Gronk, what's the deal? And they came to an agreement, and I think the trade to Detroit was just a bluff to get Gronk to declare one way or the other. And once they threatened to trade him to Detroit, he was like, no, I'll be good. I'll behave. I'll come back. And so I think they're going to have another meeting at some point, and Gronk won't. He can't announce he's coming back until he and the Patriots have agreed what his salary, what his pay is going to be this year, all that stuff. Because as soon as he says, I'm in, he's boxed in.
Yeah, but even
he can't retire after that. He said he's in. He's practicing. He's training. He's all in.
Yeah, but if it's before the, so what if he tells him that
okay,
he's
so
all,
then
that
the Patriots
in.
Come to him in August, say we're going to cut your pay. Like, what is he going to do at that point?
He can still retire.
Yeah, but he still
really hasn't practiced. He's still, you know, OTA is a big deal.
Right, but that's
so he
that's,
still hasn't practiced.
But if he's sitting out at that point, he's done all the work to get ready for the season. Everyone's counting on him. The team is kind of built around you, and then
and he's not that type of guy to just screw him. Because my thing is like, all
that'd
right,
be a tough deal.
He's putting himself. He doesn't seem like he's willing to get dirty. He's not willing to, you know, really get in the mud and force the issue.
Well, not like last year. Not like last year.
And last year, I thought that was kind of fake anyways. It's like he was committed.
Twitter
but
fun.
Once
social media
yeah,
fun.
But once he was like, I'm going to flirt around with a little bit. But then they kind of slapped him around and he caved.
Yeah.
And now I would say he's in a, to your point, I think he's in a good position right now. And now I'm interested to see how he uses it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he wants to come back, certainly for $10 million, even if they try to cut it to $8 million or whatever. There aren't too many jobs in the world where you can
all right,
do that.
So you're talking, hold out, don't say you're back because you got leverage and you're thinking maybe he's afraid that they're going to try to cut his salary.
Yes, that they're going to try to go after him for a pay cut so, if he announces that he's coming back.
So what did you think of when you heard Drew Rosenhaus say this with Peter King on his podcast?
I hope it has to do more with love of the game than wanting to make a little more money.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The economics will have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
I'd say Drew is a good agent, and he's a good person defending Rob Gronkowski. But like, what do you expect him to say? Oh, it's all about the money, of course. And he doesn't give two craps about the
well,
game.
Like
he just wants
said,
to make his money.
Like two different extremes, right? Gronk, we're going to cut your pay in half. We're going to give you $4.5 million. Or Gronk, hey, listen, you're on the fence. You're thinking about retiring. We'll give you 2 years, $20 million, $24 million. So, obviously, finances are going to play a role, right?
It has to. It has to.
Absolutely has to, unless he is strictly looking at seeing, I don't want to do this. You got to put some weapons around me. Put some weapons around Jules. Put some weapons around Tom. Make it easier on the three of us, for God's sakes.
But don't you also think that pride has something to do with it also?
Pride.
Yeah,
power.
Yes, and I think he's got it now. And I don't think if they ask him to take a pay cut in any shape or form, he's not coming back.
Pride.
Because even with the Gronk you saw last year, he's still top three tight end, top five easily, and go look what those guys are making, and he's right where he should be. So I'd have a hard time, and that's why I think pride is going to have to be, if he takes the pay cut, he's going to have to swallow his pride.
See,
a badass mother who won't take no crap off of nobody.
And again! If he stays, right, if he leaves, he's got to have, see, I think he's got a legit option, a legit opportunity where it's set in stone. All you have to do is say the word, and here's what you're gonna make. Now you may not make $20 million the first year, but here's what we're gonna start. You'll still be challenged. You'll still be relevant. You'll still be in the public eye. And then after 20, 30 years, you'll triple what you would have made that 1 year that you decided to play.
Once again.
So I think everything really starts with that whole pay cut because if I was him, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I absolutely. You've fought tooth and nail for years, and you put your body through a lot, and you've been underpaid for years, and now is when you're supposed to reap the benefits of it. But he's got to be careful because of that $10 million, none of it's guaranteed. They could lop all that off. They could mm-hmm. just release him and get – they need the cap space right now. They're tight on the cap, and so that is a very tempting thing.
But here's the other thing, Ben. Why would they ask him to take a pay cut?
Well, I just think you look at where he is in his career and his performance last year. Look, if you're paying Julian Edelman $3.5 million, is Gronk really worth 10? You know, like I realize Gronk is still in line with other top tight ends, but the Patriots don't care what other teams are playing their players. They have their own structure, and right now Julian Edelman is so cheap, and you look at Gronk for mm-hmm. triple that. Is that really good value for them?
All right, let me go to the phone calls. I want to go to Mike, who's in God's country, Framingham. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I thought you said Colorado.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Lou, you were saying yesterday that Gronk wants more. He wants better players because it'll lessen his workload. But
yeah.
If you know Belichick, I mean, they could be up 50 points. It's not going to lower Gronk's workload. He'll still be out there playing. So it doesn't matter if they're up by 50 or the game's tied.
You don't think if he had another tight end out there that actually could catch a pass? You don't think if there's another weapon out there that Tom might be able to go to instead of throwing the ball to Rob Gronkowski or maybe get double teams off of Rob Gronkowski? You don't think just another weapon would make life easier for everybody?
Oh, you were saying about the workload before. the workload, it's not. I don't think it's going to lessen the way Belichick is. He's still going to play. It's not going to be like.
I don't know why you're focusing on workload. I don't know about workload. I never really said workload. I'm just talking about production as far as go-to, as far as looking around and saying, I got no Edelman for 4 weeks. It's on me. And oh, by the way, I got hit around so much in those first 4 weeks that I had a little nagging injuries all year long because you know what? We didn't get anybody. Nobody.
Where is this information coming from that you're getting that Gronk's saying this?
It's a feeling.
I'm talking to people.
It's both. All right, thanks, Mike.
You know, to your point, we all complain about the receivers they didn't get. I wish they had went out and gotten that tight end Jesse James from the Steelers. He signed with the Lions for like 4 years and $21, $22 million. Did not break the bank. 6'7" tight end could have taken some of the workload off Gronk. That, to me, would have been
a guy.
And
can do both catch and block.
Exactly. I that was a guy I thought they too would go money. After.
Well, so that leaves
but it wasn't
me,
even that much money.
So,
which is too much money.
Well,
they're taking a tight end in the draft.
They have to.
They're taking a tight end in the draft.
You would think, right? They have to.
Taking a tight end in the draft. There's a bunch of guys right now. There's two that I like a lot that totally fit that mode. And they're at universities where Bill has a great relationship with.
Iowa.
Well, Iowa's one of them, and Alabama's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And Iowa, there's one guy, because I talked to their coaches, and I know for a fact that the one guy, Hawkinson, was going to stay in school. And he got the info from the Patriots that he should not stay in school. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's only played 3 years, and he won the Mackey Award for his third year. And Irv Smith Jr. is the other guy.
Yeah.
Kind of in the Dan Graham mold. Big physical
the
dude.
Kid from Alabama? Was the kid from Alabama?
Alabama's Irv Smith. Irv Smith. His dad was a tight end.
Yeah.
But he's in that big physical, different player, but can be just as productive, but. Those are the two guys that I'm looking at. But I don't think Hawkinson is going to be around.
All right, listen, OMF is here. No Ordway. Maloney and Fourier. Ben Volen, he's going to join us till about 5 o'clock. We're talking about free agency with the New England Patriots. You guys are still lined up. And I'm here to tell you that the season is now over because you don't have a wide receiver. As well as the Red Sox, who are trailing 13-1 of the Yankees. Their season is over. We'll do more of this next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Season's, you know, grind, so it's up and down. I mean, I'm not going to lie and sit here and say every week is the best. Not at all. I mean, you go up, you go down. You can take some serious hits. I mean, to tell you the truth, just try and imagine getting hit all the time and trying to be where you want to be every day in life. It's tough. It's difficult.
It was Rob Gronkowski the week of the Super Bowl talking about how difficult his job was last year. Was about to face the same type of job this year, given what we've seen so far in free agency. And I love it when you hear, well, the wide receiver, they still have the draft. Ben, do you think they have a shot, Ben, of finding a guy in the draft, given the history that this team did? It's not like they watched film on Julian Edelman as a wide receiver and said, yeah, that's our guy. We're going back to Deion Branch, and they're going to draft a wide receiver?
No, but they did develop Edelman, so you got to give him credit for that.
Sure.
Yeah, based on their history, no, I don't have a whole lot of faith that they'll find a guy in the second round that'll end up being good. However, receivers, I feel like by and large, do come into the NFL now and contribute more than they have in the past. So maybe this is the year to do it. Maybe a kid like Hunter Renfrow or that type, the slot type of player, maybe he's the one instead of the big outside receiver like the Chad Jackson or whatever.
Well, Christian did notice that Hunter Renfrow had the third fastest three-cone drill.
Three-cone drill.
There you go.
Always impressive.
Pencil
always
him in.
A key. He's on the board. He's on the board. He checks all the boxes.
Go to call here. I'll go to, why not? Let's go to Albert. Albert in Rhode Island. Albert, go ahead. You're on the MFers and Ben Volen.
Oh, God. You know, guys, you know, the big O's out today.
Yep.
And this is what you guys, I mean, Lou, I love you, Christian. You're definitely the stupidest person alive. But
oh, boy.
This is what you headline the show with. I mean, toys. You want the Patriots to invest in a toy because that's what Odell Beckham is. I'm a Giants fan. The only thing they've done right in the last 5 years is let this moron go. Let this child, this mental midget, this child go play somewhere else.
Albert, I don't know. Call the fan. Call the fan. Nobody said they wanted Odell Beckham Jr.
Albert.
You said you wanted Odell.
No, we didn't.
Oh, Albert.
You didn't say that?
No, I said it 2 weeks ago. Then after what Antonio Brown did, I said he's going to do the same thing. I'm good. I said, what would Tom Brady feel like if he had Odell next year as opposed to Bruce Ellington? Think he'd be happy?
That's my question. No, I don't think he would.
I think he would.
You don't win with those type of plays. You're showing you know nothing about.
No, you can win. Yeah, the fact is that they choose not to. Yes, you can. You're telling me they wouldn't win with Julio Jones? With Julio Jones, would they be like, nah, we don't need you?
Hold on. Julio's not Odell Nitwit.
Okay, you know, listen, here's something. Now, you're showing your intelligence with football. You think Odell Beckham Jr. is the best receiver in the NFL? Right, because he played for the Giants.
You take
Julio Jones and you put him as far as speed, strength, catch radius, the ability to break tackles, the ability to run after the catch, and you have the best receiver. You seriously?
Hey, he's gone.
Jesus. Why do we take his call?
I get that. Hold on, excuse me.
There's no one dumber. Well, actually, I do know a couple of people dumber than him.
But here's the thing. So
this is such a dope.
This is the feeling, though, right? Like, you guys want to pick up wide receivers. You know more than Bill. He's smart. He's going to pick up guys like Ellington. This is how they won. They won Super Bowls this way. They don't need any of these guys. Meanwhile, they already tried to get these guys. They tried to get Humphreys. They tried to get Beasley. They tried to get Golden Tate.
They tried to lowball him, but yeah.
They tried to lowball him, but they... Well, actually, they went higher on Humphreys when it was all said and done. Too late, and they went higher.
And that's the thing, though. If they valued that position, they have such a history of getting by without it that once they find themselves in a position like this, I don't think they know how to act. Oh, we can't do that. We've never done this. We can't offer him this. We don't like him that much. Well, you're going to lose him. So you lose him. You lose another guy, and then you have a bunch of one-year contract guys, and with no bonus whatsoever. Ellington got a $25,000 bonus. You think he's feeling pretty good about himself right now?
I think he's glad to have a roster spot.
For now.
Yeah, for now, through August maybe.
Is that the guy that only has is missing a hamstring?
Yeah.
Ellington is a guy. Did you hear about this? Do you know anything? Can you put your doctor hat on and
He has a piece of his hamstring missing. I don't know how that works. You're the athlete, not me.
Well, this is him talking about it, I believe.
You had the injury issue going on, and yep. I know you have talked about it. I have not heard this story, but you're missing a hamstring?
Yeah.
Like, help me understand how are you even walking, let alone playing professional football?
God, that's all I can say, but I'm missing, I want to say everybody has four or three, and I'm missing one of them. It's my semitendinosus. They removed it from the area, so I only have three, I guess it is. And I'm just out there just playing, just running, being able to go full speed. It's been a challenge, you know, not having it coming up, but now it's good.
So I think it's actually three, right?
He has three?
In each leg. So he said he has two in one leg. Three and another.
Hamstrings are pretty thick muscle. Are you talking about one little strand? Are we talking about one?
I don't know. I think there's three. I think there's like the main four, one.
Not five.
You know what I mean? Like the strong.
The strong one?
The strong hammy that you see people just like back of their leg. You're like, damn, yeah. They popped out. I don't know. I don't know it well enough.
I can already see the first day of OTAs. We get to talk to Bruce Ellington for the first time, and a reporter casually says, hey, Bruce, you're missing a hamstring. That's interesting. Can you talk about it? And he says, no, I'm just here to talk about the. I'm not here to talk about the past.
Talk about the game.
It's actually
the present, though, so you can't talk about it. You physically don't have
I'm just
one.
Trying to get better. I'm not worried about that. That is literally how that answer is going to go in the first place.
I'm just curious. Was he born this way, or did he have it taken out?
A defect? No, he probably tore it repeatedly. He probably kept pulling it, and they finally said, let's just get rid of the damn thing.
Why'd they decide to take it out?
I want to say Andre Johnson, he had the same injury that I had. And I want to say they tried to keep it in there to see if it works, but it kept having problems and stuff like that. So eventually, I guess they start removing it now. And
that's amazing.
It's working for me.
Well, it surely is because, you know, while that helps you not, I mean, you fail physically.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so there's three hamstrings. Christian, you got it in front. You want to read what each of them are?
Semitendinosus.
Okay.
Is that the one you said? Membranosus. and bicep femoris. See, I've torn every single one of these. Oh, so, good. I mean, I'm pretty skilled at this one. You can't get me on that one, buddy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I know you don't have any muscles because you're bow-legged, so you probably have all those muscles are gone.
No, my muscles are just... They're just bent a little bit.
Imagine if his legs were straight, like how tall he'd be.
Like a banana.
He's 6'3". He'd be playing in the NBA
yeah,
right now.
He'd be a guard.
So, Ben, I want to ask you, because I don't know if you tweeted it out or not, and you mentioned it earlier today, A.J. Green said it's time to start looking into A.J. Green. 1 year, $16 million left in his deal, I believe.
Is that how much it is?
I think
so. I thought it was like 11 or 12, like cash.
We'll check it out. I know our crack people back there will look it up. You think that can happen still?
I think it's a possibility. I think the Bengals are starting over from scratch. He's a 31-year-old receiver coming off an injury, high-priced, all that. So they should definitely go for it. Again, do they want to pay that type of guy $11, $12 million this year? That's not the Patriots' way. You know, unfortunately with the Patriots, them winning the Super Bowl kind of ruins everything. Like, of course you want them to go spend money. But after they just win the Super Bowl with one receiver and half of a tight end and a running game, why would you go out and spend money?
You are correct.
I almost feel like...
Why would you do it? You've just proven that you don't need to.
11.9.
11.9.
Yes. Well, the other thing is that I don't think it's by chance or by accident that that offensive line became like the focal point of that team. Like, we can throw the ball if we want to, but man, we're just not very skilled. So we're going to sit there and we're going to run it. They're going to know we're going to run it, but we're going to get away with it anyways. And then it's nothing but play action pass or something to Edelman. Or some big impact play that you've been holding on with Gronk, and you just throw the ball up there, and you know he's going to make a play.
Right. And they have the offensive line. I know they lost Trent Brown, but they have the other four guys back, and they're getting Isaiah Wynn back. And, again, like, sure, we'd all love to see them throw money around and keep all their players and keep Trey Flott, but, like, they just won, so why would you
spend anyone? When does it catch up to them?
When Brady retires.
But that's it. Again, that is always going to be the reason they're able to do whatever the hell they want.
I agree.
You know, you don't have any receivers. Well, okay, we're gonna have these guys. Well, you know, Dante Scarnecchia. Well, he's gone. Well, he came back. It's this, and then you throw in Bill, and then you throw in, you know, great ownership that for the most part, you know, stays out of the way. You're always gonna have a shot.
So you guys mentioned before how it's such like, you know, it's all these guys on 1 year deals, and it's just a revolving door of guys coming in and out. Do you wonder, or at least I wonder, ever since the Garoppolo thing went down and Bill was not allowed to keep his guy, that Bill was like, all right, screw it. You guys don't want me to build for the future. We'll just go year to year, and we'll worry about the salary cap down the road, and this is how we're going to do it.
Well, I joked around that, like, you know, 3 years from now, you're going to have every team's going to have three or four guys or five guys that have once played for the New England Patriots because everyone's here for a year, and then they leave, right? And I also wonder 3 years from now, who the hell's still on this football team?
Sorry to play through it.
Like, who on this team? Kids they just drafted we haven't seen yet? Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel?
But that's the NFL, though. So, you look at these free agent contracts, they're all just two-year deals. Like, there's no such thing as long-term security in the NFL anymore.
No, so it's...
Well, the only one who's got it is Kirk Cousins.
But they do it year to year. They do it year to year.
I'm amazed that they don't fight for that more. They don't fight for... Just more opportunities. If one guy fought for the guaranteed money, because I treat it like the NBA. You want to do that, or do it like the you know, with an option, sorts of option, but make it be your option. Why doesn't the NFL? Why don't these players fight for some sort of option where I guess somebody has to do it first, or else they'll never get done? It just I feel like they're so far behind, and as far as strength. As far as what they're capable of getting and what they're willing to fight for. And the NBA and the Major League Baseball do it right.
Because those guys are willing to miss games. Because they have financial security. They have job security. The NFL, it's just a bunch of guys. Like, it's double the size. And look, I hate to say it, but it's the sport that requires the least amount of skill. If you're the right size, height, and weight, and all that stuff, like you don't have to play college football to play in the NFL. You can't do that in any other sport. You can't just say, "Oh, I want to be a basketball player."
I agree with you. They're not skilled.
Yeah, and
I was going to let him finish before I pounced all over him, but
it's true. I mean, like in baseball, you have to be able to hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. In hockey, you got to skate. And
anyone
basketball,
can be a goalie.
Anyone could be a second baseman, but still, they just don't have the clout. They don't have the leverage, and they're not willing to sit out games. Like, they might be willing to miss a week of training camp where they're not getting paid, but you know their careers are so short and all that. They're just trying to get what they can get while they can. So, like baseball and basketball, those guys are willing to miss games.
Yeah, and I always thought that it was the guys, the present day players, are so concerned with their own earnings and their own well being because of that they. forget about what it's like for the guys that come from that are coming up behind them, or what it's going to be like for them when their careers are over. So it's just this selfish mentality.
It is. And baseball guys, I think they see a longer career. Like even your rookie year, a guy like Andrew Benintendi is sitting there and he's willing to fight because he knows that someday he'll be a free agent. And he saw what J.D. Martinez had to go through late in the spring, and they know that's going to be them. He knows he's 4 years from free agency. He knows he's going to go to arbitration. He knows he's probably got a 10-year career. Whereas a rookie in the NFL, I don't know if they know that.
No, they definitely
don't. They don't know that.
And I
they're like, I'm not going to hold out. I haven't made any money yet. I got to get that first contract. And oh, by the way, I want to try to, you know, I know only 2 years of that is guaranteed, so I got to get that second one. Because my fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh year, I got to make sure I try to get money paid for 7 years. Yeah. They don't want to hold out.
Yeah, and I've been saying that for years, though, by the way, that if you're a right, when people ask me if their kids should play football as a kid, I'm like, why? If you're big, and you're athletic, they'll find a position for you.
Yeah, I like football.
The only position that you can't just jump into would be quarterback. But even some of these college programs, if you're just an athlete, they're just going to have you run around and just chuck it, and the guy's going to be wide open. But that doesn't translate to the NFL. But still, it's just mind-boggling how stupid they are sometimes.
All right, let's go to the calls. I want to go to Kenny in Connecticut. Kenny, you're on with OMF, Ben Volen in the house, too.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. Hey, just really quick, guys, listening to you guys talk about the Pats and stuff and this whole wide receiver thing going on. You know, maybe the Pats are just transitioning more into that running game since they did a lot of that last year. Not saying that Brady's falling off a cliff because I love Brady. I defend him. He's the GOAT. But... you know, he's getting older, so what do you think? You think we're still going to keep on with that running game, and maybe see more of it?
Kenny, can I ask you a question? Why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why not do both? I mean, you invested about $12 million in all five of your running backs. That's nothing.
I agree with you guys. I wish that, you know, we'd pull the trigger and, you know, get some people in here, some tall guys, some athletic guys.
Tall guys.
This is tall guys.
But... you know, what are we going to do?
Here's the thing. You are basically in rinse and repeat mode for the next 3 or 4 years until Brady is gone. That's
50% run, 50% pass, because that's 50% stupid.
Ben, I think we saw it last year, the way they drafted, right? The amount of running backs they brought in here. They drafted Wynn there early to get a tackle, offensive line. The lack of weapons. It was like, yeah, they want to run the football. And they ran the football. They ran it effectively when Michelle was healthy. All I would say is, wouldn't it be easier to run the football if you had a very good wide receiver and the threat of throwing the football?
Yeah, and they may have built their offense around the running backs, but two of the three of them are receiving running backs,
right?
James White and Rex Burkhead. Those guys are in the passing game. I think they got lucky in the playoffs with that, you know, run first, play action style of offense, because, you know, Josh Gordon was suspended in week 16, and then they kind of remade themselves on the fly, and I think they caught some teams kind of off guard by basically revamping and changing the offense for the playoffs. And I think if they had to do that over the full course of a season, it would catch up to them. I don't think it would last. So I don't think they can build it around being a running team and, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dust. I think it's, you need to be able to do it, but you got to get more receivers and just weapons in the passing game.
Go to Steve real quick, because this is my whipping boy.
He loves it.
Now, Steve isn't my whipping boy, but Gordon
Steve,
is my whipping boy.
But the topic. Steve, go ahead. Christian wants to yell at you.
Thank you for taking my call. I have to say, Glenn, the last couple of performances are the best of your career.
Hey, thanks. I just want to say thanks. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. You can keep talking, man.
Thanks, bro.
The answer to the wide receiver problem is going to be Josh Gordon.
Oh, jeez.
Robert Kraft is going to negotiate a huge fine, but part of the deal is going to be Gordon comes off of suspension, and we get 30 days notice of any drug tests.
Jeez. Here's the thing, Ben. Can you explain this whole deal? So the Patriots tendered him,
right,
for what, 2 points something?
If he signs, he makes $2.02 million.
Okay, so if he signs,
right?
Okay, what is his timeline as far as a possible return? Is it set in stone based on how many times he's been flagged, or is this completely up to Roger Goodell?
Yeah, it's completely up to Goodell. And with Gordon, they've been kind of rewriting the rules and kind of doing whatever they want, but to his benefit. Because if they were sticking by the rules, he'd be long gone. He'd be banished. And from what I've told, they don't want another Justin Blackmon situation. Remember that receiver?
Yeah, Oklahoma State.
And he had all these issues, and he was basically banished, and his life, you know, was ruined, and he had no support system, and he's out there adrift somewhere. And they don't want to do that with Josh Gordon. So they're trying to work with him. I think possibly sometime this spring, maybe in May, is when Goodell is supposed to do something with it. And maybe Gordon is suspended for X amount of games. I'm not really sure. They want him to be in the team construct to have that support system. No other team out there is going to spend money or give up a draft pick for Gordon. So he'll probably be back at some
point.
As
much as we talk about the cap, all you want, but they got to hold the $2 million number on him.
Right.
That counts against the cap. And he might never play.
Yeah, but does it if he... Well, that's what I was going to ask. If he doesn't play, does that go away?
Yeah, if he doesn't sign with them, then yeah, they get that back. It comes
next
off
year.
The cap. Well, no, it would be, you know, there's like a deadline of like July or September or something that he has to sign the restricted free agent tender. So they have to carry it until he signs or until they can rescind the offer at any time too, and then it goes away or, you know, a lot of accounting. But like Josh Gordon's $2 million is not breaking the bank or is not preventing you from, signing other players. So it's really just a placeholder. And to me, it's a sign that they like him and they still support him. And they, you know,
they publicly have to.
They didn't have to tender him. They didn't have to tender him.
I mean,
they,
isn't it kind of like the feel-good story, though? You know, we're going to make sure we stand by you, and that's another sign. Right. Do they really like him? Like him?
Tom Curran got on me the other day because I said the only reason they like him is because he's a cheap, productive wide receiver, and he thinks, you know, that was cruel and cold of me. But
oh, thanks, bro.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, yeah. That's what it is.
I mean, he got mad at you for that?
Yeah, he called me out. Live, stopped the live TV to, you know,
did he try to fight you?
He, you know, lectured me about
the
it.
The radio ads.
I got somebody tried to fight me today.
Who?
He called into the show, called into Daily Keefe and tried to fight me.
He did call in the show.
Like fisticuffs?
Fist, wants yeah, me fisticuffs. To like roll fisticuffs. On the ground and beat the crap out of my face.
Does he know you're 6'5"?
Well, apparently he's 6'3". I do want to hear that. I also want to address another, just a troll job here from Manish Mehta.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. I want to hear the guy that called up and wants to kick Christian's ass because I'm actually
Oh, and I got a question for Ben.
You do? We
do
all three of these things?
Yes.
All right, we'll do it all when OMF comes back with Ben Volen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.